you don't mind if I stay down here. I was told it's going to be not quite a crowd. Everybody's gone. Little holiday. So I felt I'd stay right with everybody. And I'll feel a little close fellowship. How's that? Amen. Amen. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a good and gracious God, and his mercies continue to be everlasting. God continues to demonstrate his grace towards us. We had his mercies extended to us even today as we came. He continues to demonstrate his kind love to us. And so it's a joy for me to be with you again, and I again greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. So today we are going to take a quick look at this topic that sends us back to the basics. It comes from Galatians chapter 3, and it's in verses 16 to 20. I'm going to ask you, if you have the time and you have your text with you, to just come with me to Galatians chapter 3. You know, Galatians is a very little terse book that addresses some of the early conflicts that they faced in the early church. Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 to 20. And so I'll read, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ." Verse 17. "What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one." Here ended the reading of the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, your Word is very weighty and very strong, and sometimes we grapple and we struggle with it. So, Lord, give us clarity, open up the truth to our understanding, and help us to appreciate the blessings that you have here for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this looks like a challenging passage to read and understand. But when you understand the context, it's not so challenging. In fact, it's rich. It's rich with great truth. It's rich with deep meaning for our souls. In fact, I entitled the sermon today, Back to the Basics. Back to the Basics. Have you heard it said, let's go back to the basics, or we're going back to the basics? Sometimes those in the construction industry, they'll say, let's go back to the drawing board. Means let's go back and start all over, review it from the original and build up again. So it's a term that we use a lot in dealing with matters. In fact, when we have conversation, we would sometimes say, no, let's get back to the basics, you know. Don't get carried away with all these ideas. let's get back to the basics. And we say that very much in our conversation. Well, St. Paul is doing just that in this letter to the Galatians. He is saying, look, don't get carried away with all this stuff and all these things that these guys are saying. He says, let's get back to the basics. That's a vital aspect of the Christian life, to get back to the basics. The New Testament, it's a call to always go back to the cross. In fact, this is why we had the communion service established. The Lord said that as often as you do this, you remember me. And so he insisted that the church should always go back to the cross, go back to the basics. That's where our salvation started. But in this chapter to the Galatians, another problem had arisen. You see, the church was happily, joyfully living and worshiping the Lord Jesus. People were getting saved, and they were placing their faith in the Lord Jesus. In fact, they had enjoyed what had come to be known as their liberty in Christ. But some of the guys from Jerusalem wasn't too happy. So they came around telling them, well, you cannot really serve God until you follow the Jewish customs. And that brought about a fair amount of confusion in the church. Well, you say we have to get back to circumcision, and we have to go back to the teachings of the law, and it became of concern and conflict in the thinking of the believers. So St. Paul decided to write them a letter to explain to them why they do not need to get confused about these very important matters. In fact, in the very first chapter, he gave them a sort of a rebuke. He said, I'm so surprised that you are so quickly departing from the truth that you were taught. He said, oh, foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you? These are strong words. Very strong words. You're getting bewitched. Somebody's confusing you. You ought not to be that confused, because we told you the truth. We told you the facts. Why are you getting carried away and losing your way? So it is clear that these guys who had come down from Jerusalem, they were called Judaizers. They had come down and they were confusing the Galatian Christians. So Paul is about to defend the gospel of grace, emphasizing that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and not through the adherence to the Jewish customs. He passionately argues for Christian freedom and the centrality of Christ's work on the cross. It's all about what Christ did for us. And so he's emphasizing that believers are justified by faith, and he called them to live by the Spirit rather than the legalistic observance of the cross, of the law. So Paul is beginning to clear up their thinking. But to do that, he has to go back to the basics. He has to go back to explaining this whole matter of the law. They are going back to the law. He says, no, you're getting it wrong. Go back to the basics. And so I have four simple pointers that I'm going to give to you to help us climb through this passage that seems so challenging. And the first thing I want to say here is that the basics are God's core commands. You know, we have core values. In education, we talk about the core values of the whole education program to students. Well, the Bible has core commands. We got 10 commandments from God, and they are the core for morality and practice in the sight of God. And this is very important to understand. So Paul asks the question, you are going back to the law, and I'm telling you that Christ is the answer. Let me explain you, he said, why we got the law. Why the law? Why did we get the law? Well, he says, it was added because of our sins. It was added. He said, the way God worked is that God gave us a promise. He promised Abraham to redeem the human race. But people in their process of waiting to be redeemed decided to do all manner of flagrant wrongdoing. So God gave the law. He added the law until the seed, who is Christ would come. Very important aspect. So he gave these 10 commandments and then some ancillary and supplementary guidelines for people to live by. The basics are God's core commandments, and Paul is taking them back to seeing and understanding the basics. Go back to the basics. Always important to go back to the basics. And so the 10 commandments are not merely rules from the past. They are not merely ideas that were drummed up. They are the bedrock, the anchor, the core of morality and integrity. They are for moral wholeness of a person's life. They're not to be treated scantily. These are core teachings. They are the blueprint for society and societal harmony. And Paul wants them to go back and understand that. They are guiding us from chaos and disorder. They are helping us to move from confusion to order. It teaches us what moral standing and dignity is all about. So he takes them back to teaching them about the basics, to look and understand. Brothers and sisters, it did not come to us as a result of a statistical survey. You know, some people, you go out and you do a survey now and you say, well, what do the people want? That's how a lot of stuff is done today. What do people need? Let's get everybody to fill up a form and say what they need. Well, the commandments didn't come to us because a survey was done and we came up with a bunch of ideas. These commandments came from God. And Paul wants them to know that. The commandments came from God. They are God's sound guidelines. They didn't come as a poll, from a poll or some survey. Sound guidelines. In fact, they were written by God and given to Moses so that they can guide the people. They can give instruction to the people. So he's taking them back to the basics. Now, when we look at the commandments, we notice the law is there are two tablets, and the one tells us how to love God, and we learn this from Jesus. Jesus says the first tablet tells us how to love God, and the second tablet tells us how to love our fellow man. So he brings everything to our understanding. When the commandments came, and we noticed in the last verses 18 and 19 and 20 of Exodus chapter 20, we notice that when God started speaking, the people saw the thunder and the lightning, and they heard the trumpet and saw the mountain smoking, and they trembled with fear. Means that when God spoke to them, he wanted them to understand these were not light words. These were not words to be taken lightly or to be played around with. These were serious words. And the people trembled. Tells us they stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, you speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But we don't want to be up there where God is speaking. This is very important. When God is speaking, we need to really give heed. Because what God is saying is not light. It's not to be brushed off. Is not to be treated scantily. When God speaks, the words are heavy. They come with the authority of heaven. Commandments, Ten Commandments, have been valuable in our communities. People, sometimes they're not even Christians, but they are guided by the Ten Commandments. We had it in the schools. In fact, we had it in the city halls and in strategic places. Sometimes we'd have it posted up in the church. Vital, important, heavy words. In fact, sometimes some people would pick up the newspaper and they read about crime and they can tell you, that's wrong. And sometimes they read about other things and say, that's commendable, because they are guided by these critical Ten Commandments. Paul is telling them, let's go back and take a look at these commandments. They are valuable. They are valuable. And so when the commandments were given to the people and they trembled in fear, Moses told them in Exodus 20 and verse 20, he says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you. He's given you these commandments to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. This is a very important statement. They've been given to test you. God wants to test us. So God gave them these commandments. So the people remained at a distance and they said, Moses, we don't want to be close. You talk to us. God is too forceful, too powerful. His words are heavy. We can't handle it. You mediate between us and God. And when you look at the laws, they are what you call apodictic, using a big word, apodictic. What it means is that they are non-negotiable. You can say, oh God, well, I'll obey up to this point, and you can't negotiate. When God gives us the commands, he means business. He wants complete obedience. This is what is so strong about these commandments. He wants complete. He wants total obedience. He wants compliance. And so Paul is pointing out to them that the commandments were given, they were added Moses told them it was to test them. And Paul is saying God gave it in distinct addition to show you your transgressions back to the basics. The commandments were given, and the priority here, it was to stop them from going headlong into their sin, but they could not stop. They continued to sin. That's the story of all of us. Even though we see the commandments and we try to obey, we still fail. We are failures when it comes to God's commandments. And so the commandments came as a curse, and it rebukes us, and it tells us that our hearts are not right with God. It shows us who we are. It speaks forcefully to remind us that we have failed. We all need the commandments. This is why we need to tell people about the commandments, so that they will see. And we will remember, we'll see our own failures. So Moses said, it's given to scare you and to cause you fear, to keep you from sinning, but you can't do it. You are still sinning. You are still going, although you know it, you still fail. How sad the state of the human race, that even when we get good guidelines, we get light, we get truth, we try. But Paul told the Romans, we are weak in the flesh. We can't do it. Somehow, we keep failing. We all keep failing. Some people are weak in other areas and some in other areas, but we all have areas. We all have areas where we are weak and sinful. And this is why we are under the condemnation. So the basics, the commandments, call us to obey. Moses said, this is given. That's my second point. The basics of the commandments calls us for a moral response, but we can't give that full moral response. We are sinful. We can't do the right thing. Although we know the truth, although we know what's right, this is the thing that causes us all to hang our heads and say, what is wrong with me? This is how we are able to say, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I've tried and failed. I've tried and failed. The third lesson that we learn from the commandments, and it's very similar to the first one, is that it's a test. God gave them the commandments to test them. That's the point Moses again made in verse 20. It is to test you. I wonder how I did on that test. Old Ted, how did I do? I know I didn't do good. St. Paul gave the results of his test. Picks it up in Romans chapter 7. When Paul puts the Ten Commandments to test his life and to look at his life, Paul said he was doing good. He said, I was alive. I was doing well. But when I got the 10th commandment, the 10th commandment, Paul said, at that time, I realized I was a sinner. The 10th commandment says, thou shall not covet. It means you must not even desire to do what is wrong. None of us could pass that test. You must not even feel to do something wrong. That's what it means. I should not want to covet, to get, to desire. What is this? Why Jesus had to be clear, and he was expounding in the Beatitudes. So we all realize that we have failed. And Paul opens it up, and he exposes himself, and he says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, he said, sin revived, and I died. All the human race, every one of us stand before God, failures. Every one of us, sinners. Every one of us, we're in trouble with God. Everyone. And so, Paul is writing now to these Galatians to remind them that the law was just added to show us how sinful we are. But the answer to this crisis is Jesus Christ. This is why God sent Jesus Christ into the world. God sent Jesus for this very reason, to wash away our sin and to draw us out from our degradation, to redeem us, to buy us back, to save us, because we could not save ourselves. Even though we get good rules to live by, we could not save ourselves. The only person who could save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul said, we have the commandments up until the seed, which is Christ, should come. And when Christ came, Christ died on the cross. Christ gave his life on the cross so that we can be saved. Now, we are saved not by trying to keep the law, but by calling upon Jesus. We say, Jesus, save me. Save me, Lord. Have mercy on me. I can't save myself. I can't correct my wrongdoing. I can't stop myself from failing morally. I need you, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. This commandment shows me where I've failed. But the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus came to correct this problem. Imagine, we had sound commandments that told us what to do, but we couldn't. We failed and failed and failed. Paul said, I was doing good, but my heart was still yearning for what is wrong. My desires were still going after what is wrong. Sometimes I'm able to withhold myself. But my heart is still desiring it. My heart is still sinful. How do I correct that? I can't. I have to cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, cleanse me. Come into my heart. Change my life. Have mercy on me. This is the gospel of good news. That even though we had rules and we failed, the good news tells us, in spite of our failure, Jesus will save us if we call upon him and ask for forgiveness. He will come into our lives and change us and make us new. Make us new. You know, we have seen the story with guys who have been addicted to alcohol, and they tried to stop. Some even went to AA to stop. They had some victory, but they're still struggling with it. And once they said yes to Jesus, be born again, the radical change came over their lives. And they could say, now I know I'm free. Now I know I'm free. We see it with drug addicts. put them in programs and help them to get cleaned up. But there are those who came to faith in Christ Jesus. And we say in the counseling program, they broke it cold turkey. They just stopped. No more. Of course, others, we have to work with them and help them through. But when people come to Jesus and they are born again, there's a radical change on the inside. So St. Paul said, the law is like a schoolmaster. It's like a teacher. It shows you that we are weak, that we are sinful, and that we need Christ. So he says, the law is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Anybody who tries to live by these commandments, they discover one thing. I am a failure. I am a sinner. The only hope for me in this world is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one who can save us. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only help for our souls. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. This is why we worship him. This is why we remember him. This is why we come to him. This is why we must come to Jesus. This is why we tell people. We see them trapped. We see them in their sin, in their darkness, and we realize that there is no way for them. They are trying, but only Jesus will save. Only Jesus. Remember to tell somebody about Jesus this week. Remember to tell somebody about the gospel. Don't live and ignore them. They need Jesus, and they can't find him, but they need us to come to them. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Tell them. People must hear. It is upon hearing faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. When we keep telling them about Jesus, God begins to work on the inside. Faith comes by hearing. We need to be out there all the time. Give a track. Tell somebody. Show them kindness. Talk to them about Jesus. Give a testimony. Tell people Jesus saves. The only answer. The only way. So St. Paul tells these Galatians, don't get confused. Don't try to go back to the law. The law can't save you. The law can't help you. Strong words can't save you. The only person who could save is Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus saves. Let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Strengthen us, oh Lord. We love you, Jesus. You are the only hope. Break the chains of those who are stuck in their sin. Set them free. Help them, Lord. Raise them up, Lord. Bring them out, Lord. They can't come out. They're in chains. They're blind. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Send us out this week with your word. May we tell somebody about Jesus. Save souls this week, Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.